So tonight, I want to start a new series with you guys. It's called The Dwelling Place. Somebody say The Dwelling Place. Somebody say The Dwelling Place. Somebody say The Dwelling Place of God. Man, I'm super excited about this series. To give you guys a little backdrop, me, Pastor Cameron, Pastor Marcellus, Pastor Sam, a guy on staff named Isaiah, we all got a chance to talk to a guy named Billy Humphreys. And most of you guys probably have no clue who Billy Humphreys is, but that's okay. But I just want to let you know, man, that from that conversation, that God really began to do something in all of our hearts. And it's something that I believe is going to radically shift this youth ministry. And so I'm really excited about where we're going. But tonight, I want to start out by saying, I think that we need to rethink church. So, you know, I think that we need to rethink church, because I think, if I could put it to you lightly, that many times that we do not do church according to God's design. Can I get 5 volunteers for me? Come on. I have no clue if that's 5. I just started handing out, pointing the finger. Come on, girl. Okay, I want you to hold it backwards, okay?
So words facing you.
Yeah. Words facing you.
Words facing you.
And you guys can line up shoulder to shoulder.
Okay.
Yep, just like that. Okay, line up shoulder to shoulder and face the crowd. All right. Was like anybody else horrible at hula hoop back in the day? Like, still to this day, like, I cannot get this thing, like, you know, it's like, how do you even hula hoop? Like, it's kind of like whistling. I can't hula hoop and I can't whistle. Those are two things I cannot master. I have, y'all, I have gone on YouTube and watched whistling lessons. It still hasn't helped. You know, I've never watched hula hooping lessons, but I'm really bad at hula hooping. And that has nothing to do with the message tonight. Okay? I think that we need to rethink church, because I think that we have drifted so far away from what God's original intent for what church actually is all about. Right? So I think, man, what church has become about is that church has become another entertainment industry. You know? Man, I think that there's very little difference between how people gauge church and how they gauge music, and how they gauge a movie, and how they gauge this, and how they gauge that. It's almost like church is on the same line. And it's like we sit in church, and maybe we don't even know it, but I think sometimes it's almost like, entertain me. You know, entertain me. You know, and we center church around entertainment, right? Is that, man, you can flip your words around. Is that we center church, this is the center, right? Around good preaching. You know? Oh, man, I like that church because the preaching is good. Yo, man, that pastor can preach. Yo, Stephen Furtick is a beast, right? So I watch Elevation every single week, you know? Yo, and don't make me bring up Mike Todd. Right? Listen, and we deem how good a church is based off how good the preaching is. But what if God doesn't base how good a church is off of how good preaching is? You know, listen, maybe we don't center church around good preaching. Maybe you're someone who centers it around good worship. You can flip your words around. Oh, is it around? Okay, good job. It didn't look like it was around from this side. It makes sense now. Oh, you guys were supposed to turn your signs. It's okay. We'll get there. Right? But maybe for you, somebody, I mean, it's about how good the worship team is. Right? Yo, man, the music is dope. Yo, like, they're playing my music. They're playing my song. Right? Yo, and I'm going to skip to keep over here. I'll come back to you. Right? Like, and yo, like, I'm going to worship whenever my favorite song is played. Like, you know what used to crack me up? Is that I went to a private Christian school, right? And probably one of the most driest, dead, godless atmospheres that you can be in. Okay, private Christian schools, great education, but there wasn't a whole lot of Jesus there. Okay, but it used to amaze me, right? is that chapel time? Like, so we used to have chapel every single Wednesday morning, right? It used to be like the most dreaded thing that no one wanted to go to because it was so boring, right? It was so dead. It was so boring, you know? And so, but it would always amaze me, right? There were these kids who had absolutely zero interest in God. I mean, like, did not care about God. We're talking about who they had sex with a couple minutes ago. You know, I mean, like, we're like in the back parking lot of the school smoking weed, you know what I mean? Or whatever. And then we're in chapel, right? Don't even care about God. Then all of a sudden, right, Mighty to Save by Hillsong comes on. You know, you guys might not know this song, but it's like, God, you're mighty to save. Mighty to save, you know? Da, 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 da. Okay. But it used to amaze me is that whenever Mighty to Save came on, yo, I mean, everybody was like, God, you're mighty to save. Yes, God. Yes. I'm like, bro, you're not even saved. You told me you were an atheist like 10 minutes ago. You know, so you're mighty to save. I was like, what is up with this song, you know? But see, but for those guys, it centered all around their favorite song. You know, I'm not saying that it's anybody in this room, but I've heard so many people say, yo, I would worship if they played my type of music. Right? Yo, I would worship if that song had a beat to it. I was in the youth ministry when we tried to do like this rock rap thing. It didn't work. Okay. You know, or maybe you're somebody who's like, man, I'm gonna, like, it's all about the vibey atmosphere. You know, like the good atmosphere. I mean, like, how good are the lights? What music is playing in the background? Are there games? And it's all centered around the atmosphere. You know, or maybe it's all about how fun service was. Bro, you get like 10 stars, bro. You waited the whole time to turn your sign around. I'll pray. Bro, you did it? Come on, bro. He said, nobody waited. Okay, well, hey, man. You get an A for effort, okay? But, you know, maybe it's all about, yo, man, I was at church and I had fun. Yo, church is so fun, right? Now, listen, is there anything wrong with good preaching? No, listen, I enjoy good preaching, okay? I enjoy a good message from Stephen Furtick. I enjoy a good message from Michael Todd, okay? Or I have some other people that are like, is there anything wrong with good worship? Bless God, no, I don't want someone up there with a busted voice, right, trying to lead us in worship. Listen, you do not want me up there leading us in worship. Thank God we have Mackenzie in the room, okay? There's nothing wrong with good preaching. There's nothing wrong with good worship. Is there anything wrong with lights and a fog machine in the background? No, there's nothing wrong with these things. Is there anything wrong with having a favorite worship song that maybe inspires you to worship at that moment? No, is there anything wrong with being at church and having fun? No, but what is wrong is when we make church about these things, church stops being about God and it starts being about us. Does that make sense? Church stops being about God and it starts being about our entertainment. Right? Yo, man, that preaching was really good. Yo, that song was real dope. All right, thank you guys. You guys can sit down for me. Thank you guys. I'm getting like bombarded by signs. Does that make sense? See, and here's the thing, is that church was never meant to be about our entertainment, but about making it his dwelling place. I'm going to say that again. Church was never meant to be about our entertainment, but about making it his dwelling place. Somebody say his dwelling place. Somebody say his dwelling place. See, the goal of church is not for you to walk out and say, man, that preaching was good, or man, I like that song. But the goal of church is for you to walk out and say, man, I met with God today. Man, I encountered God today. Man, I had a meeting with Jesus today. And today, I think we need to rethink it because God is inviting us to rediscover his beauty and his glory of what happens when we make church about a dwelling place and not about our entertainment. Does that make sense? Makes sense. See, church is about more than a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night service, but it's about God, dwelling among his people. I'm going to say that again. It's about God dwelling among his people. See, and so for tonight, I'm just going to go into like teaching mode, all right? To where I'm going to give you guys a bunch of like really awesome facts, and we're going to walk through some stuff in the Bible. But man, I wonder if Jesus would walk in many church services in America, and I wonder if he would begin flipping tables. You guys know the story in the Bible where Jesus walks into the temple, right? And the money changers are there, and it's like Jesus has this moment where he loses it and he begins flipping tables. Then he makes a whip and he begins driving them out of the outer court. You guys know that story? Okay, well, I'm going to read it to you anyways. Matthew 21, because some of you guys are confused. Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13. It says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. My house will be called a house of prayers, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now this story, it's like always intrigued me. Like I've always like been like, yo, Jesus has this crazy G moment, right? Like I can just see Jesus walk up with like the 12 disciples behind him, the posse. And like, and dude just walks up. He's just like, can you just see money going out? I mean, this is the dude who like just raised the dead 10 minutes ago, and now he's flipping over your table. You know, like, yo, like, what is happening in this moment? And I think tonight it would behoove us, like the word behoove, it'd behoove us to ask why. Why was Jesus flipping over tables? Like, why did Jesus have this moment where like even the disciples looked at him and all of a sudden the prophecy came to their mind that man, it is that jealousy for his house will eat him up. Like Jesus got intense in this moment. Why? See, Jesus did it in the temple, which is really important. But hundreds of years before this moment, there's a guy named David, right? How many of you guys have heard of King David before? Right? And David has this moment where the presence of God is dwelling in this tent. Like, and David has this moment and says, man, God deserves more than a tent, is that God deserves a house. And so he says, man, is that I won't give sleep to my eyelids until God gets a house, until God gets a dwelling place. And so David goes, and he doesn't necessarily build the house because God tells him he can't because he has blood on his hands, but his son does. He builds this thing called the temple, and we're going to get into that in a few weeks. But David establishes kind of like this pre-temple tent thing, right? And David hires 4,000 singers and 4,000 musicians. 4,000 singers and 4,000 musicians to night and day to start this worship movement, this worship prayer movement. So David had worship going on before the Lord 24/7. Okay, this is really important. 24/7. And so, but by the time the temple was in Jesus's day, they had cut that part out. And so when David when Jesus walks in and he's flipping over tables and he says, man, you've made my house a den of thieves. What he's saying here is that, man, is that you've left out the main thing. Is that you've left out what it was all about. Is that you guys have completely missed the mark. Let me read what you guys have in my notes. If I can put it to you this way, the main thing stopped being the main thing. Come on, what was this 24/7 prayer thing about? It was about ministry to God. It was about ministry to God. It's about what we did in worship tonight. It was about ministry to him. And Jesus is saying, man, is that you stopped centering it around worship to God, and you started centering it around other things, like good preaching, like good worship or good songs or like fun or like the atmosphere or whatever it is that we want to center church around. I mean, like the people who come to churches, that I'm going there because of them. Like, and there's like none of that stuff is bad. It just becomes bad when I make that the focus and I begin to center it around that instead of around him. Are you catching what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying, guys? See? Oh, man, there's so, man, I have like hours of things I could talk about tonight. I'm trying to like dwindle it down. Marcellus knows what I'm talking about. But what happened was, listen, this is how far off course they got, okay? Is that the Bible says, is that in the middle, like in essence, in the middle of a church service, right? Like in the middle of when there was singing, like, and there was, they were doing all the sacrifices and everything was going on, is that the Bible says that Israel got so far away from the heart of God that literally the presence of God left and no one even noticed. The presence, they stopped making it about him, and because they stopped making it about him, he left and no one even noticed. No one even noticed. Then if my history is right, God is silent for 400 years. He's silent for 400 years. It's the period between Malachi and Matthew. Then all of a sudden, he speaks again when this guy named Jesus shows up. See, what you have to understand tonight, and guys, and this is so critical to where we're going, is that God has always had it in his heart that he longs to dwell among his people. He's always had it in his heart that God is longing. Oh man, his heart is aching, is that he wants to dwell among his people. You know, in the Bible, there are certain narratives, basically certain stories that unfold throughout the Bible, or certain themes that you can trace all the way from Genesis to Revelations. Like you read, is that there's an obvious theme of redemption, right? God is redeeming mankind back to himself to be in relationship, right? There is the glory of God, there's creation, there's the love of God, right? There's all these things. And, but one of these themes, that listen, if you do not get this theme, you will not get the Bible. You literally will not understand the Bible if you do not get this theme. But one of the main themes of the Bible is the habitation of God. Is the habitation of God. See, and when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, man, you find out that all throughout that God is setting up these sanctuaries. These sanctuaries so that he can dwell with man and so that the glory of God can dwell among men. The fullness of who God is. See, in the first one that we read about is in Genesis. It's in the Garden of Eden. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis 2, verses 8 through 10. The Lord God planted a garden eastward. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. Now what in the world does this have to do with the dwelling place of God? This has everything to do with the dwelling place of God. Okay? I'm probably going to share some stuff tonight that you have probably never heard, but that's okay. So put on your thinking cap, okay, because I'm going to go into teaching mode, okay? And I'm going to share with you guys some really, really fun stuff, okay? So the first thing that we need to understand about this passage is that there's a difference between Eden and the Garden of Eden, okay? There's a difference between Eden and the Garden of Eden. Okay, at this time, okay, scientists believe in something called Pangaea, which basically means that before that all the continents were one giant mass piece of land. It's called the supercontinent, right? And they do that because you find fossils that belong in other continents and this continent, and there's no way that it could have gotten there and there unless things were connected. Okay, it's people way smarter than me, okay? But in this Pangaea or in this supercontinent, the Bible lets us know that there's this region called Eden. Okay, and in Eden, there's this place called the Garden of Eden. Okay, they are not the same thing. Is that the Garden of Eden is in Eden. Does that make sense? Right? It's pretty easy to grasp. But it would be like saying, is that, man, like botanical gardens in Fayetteville are the same place. Are botanical gardens in Fayetteville the same place? No, what is it? Botanical gardens is a place that is in Fayetteville, right? So the Garden of Eden was in Eden. So it's like when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, they didn't get kicked out of Eden. They got kicked out of the garden, right? Like we all act, they got kicked out of Eden and like they're wandering as nomads in like the desert, you know? Like, no. Like they were in Eden. They just were in the Garden of Eden. Okay, thank you so much. That's really important to understand that the Garden of Eden was a specific place that God had set aside. Now, to grasp this dwelling place concept, we have to understand what type of garden this was. Now, when I say garden, what comes to your mind? Flowers, fruit. Okay, somebody say trees, that's good. What? Vegetables, right? Huh? And bees and animals, okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of more like a farm, but that's cool, you know? But listen, like we have to understand what type of garden this was, is that this was not a vegetable garden, this was not a fruit garden, this was not an herb garden. Like, God didn't, like create, like, hey, Adam, I planted some oranges over there, I want you to go tend to them. Like, that's not what this is. Like, Adam was not cultivating beans and potatoes, you know, in, like, the Garden of Eden, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what this thing was. Is that what Eden literally was, is that Eden was a sanctuary. Eden was a garden sanctuary. Like a garden that would be attached onto a royal household that's outside of that household. That's what Eden was. And that's what God put Adam in to tend and to cultivate. Does that make sense? And the Bible lets us know that in Ezekiel 28, 13, 18, I'm not going to go there, but listen to this. It says, next we need to understand the designation garden. The word generally refers to a park-like setting featuring trees and what we could call landscaping. This is in contrast to the American usage of garden, which often, more often than not, refers to a small rectangular plot of ground with rows of vegetables or flowers. In the same way that a garden of the palace would be adjoining to the palace, in the same way that a garden of the palace would be adjoining the palace, Eden would then be the source of the waters and the residence of God. Can I read that statement to you again? Because it's mind-blowing. It says, in the same way that a garden of the palace would be adjoining to the palace, Eden would then be the source of the waters and the residence of God. And the garden would adjoin God's residence. Gardens of this variety were a common feature in palace complexities in the ancient world. They were planted with fruit trees and shade trees and generally contained water courses, pools, and paths. Listen, so when you think of the garden, I want you to think about a place of absolute beauty and fruitfulness that's not just filled with flowers and vegetation, but it has structures, it has pathways, it has pools, it has gates, and it has chambers. Can you throw up those pictures for me, guys? No pictures? Oh, okay. No pictures. It's okay. Okay, but in essence, right, like, I had some really cool pictures to show you guys. That's okay. In essence, this was not a plat of land that Adam was called to tend and to cultivate to grow beans and potatoes. Instead, listen to this, instead, the Garden of Eden was a sanctuary. It was a meeting place for God to meet with man. Yeah, that's probably one of the most important things I'll tell you tonight. What was Eden? What is this dwelling place thing all about? Is that God designed a place originally for God to meet with man. What does the Bible say would happen in Eden? I mean, that God would literally walk with Adam in the cool of the day. that literally God built this garden himself. The Bible says that God planted the garden, that God built the garden, and then Adam was put there to tend it, but it was made for a meeting place between God and man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know this isn't like super like, oh my gosh, but it's, trust me, it's going to get really good. See, and what is mind-blowing in this passage is that it points out three important facts. Number one is that the garden was planted within the eastern part of Eden. Next is that the tree of life was specifically placed in the garden. This is where it gets cool. Okay, the tree of life was specifically placed in the garden. Where else do we find the tree of life at? Where? Where do we find the tree of life at in the Bible? Well, it's heaven. It's in the book of Revelations. Look at Revelations 19. Sorry, Revelations 20, verses 1 through 2. It says this, and then he showed me. So this is John, and literally Jesus takes John to heaven, and John's like checking out what heaven's like. And it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now listen, I want you to know is that none of this is figurative speech. Listen, anything that you read about heaven is not figurative speech. All because you can't see it, that doesn't mean that it's not real. Okay? All, like, everything that you read is real about heaven. Like, it's not like God's trying to, like, give John, like, hey, this actually means this, or like this is what this symbolizes. No, when it says that there's a literal pure river of the water of life, guess what? There's literally a pure river of water of life, and it's clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. So in God's throne room, there's literally this giant throne. Okay, listen, the Bible says that heaven is oh man, what is it? Heaven is 1,500 miles wide, it's 1,500 miles long, and it's 1,500 miles high. Sorry, not heaven, the New Jerusalem. Because there's a difference between heaven and the New Jerusalem. But, and whatever, we won't go there. And of the Lamb, and in the middle of its streets, and on either side of the river, listen, was what? Was what? Was what? Was what? Was what? Was what? Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. Now, what's so significant about this in Eden? Like, we have to understand is that when God created the heavens and the earth, is that heaven and earth were not separated like they are now. Like, please hear me tonight. Heaven and earth were not separated like they are now. Like now it's like, oh, hey, we're on earth, and one day when we die, we'll get to heaven. No, like, in Adam's world, literally heaven was breaking into earth at this place called Eden, where the tree of life was. Does that make sense? So listen, not only is this the place, is Eden this sanctuary where God is meeting with man, but it's this sanctuary, man, where heaven and earth are one. Like, this is really, 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 really important, okay? Where heaven and earth are one. This is what I said. I said, why is this important? Is that we must understand that as a part of the original creation, when God created heaven and earth, that there was no separation. That there was a seamless heaven and earth dwelling together, and Eden likely is a portion of that original creation of New Jerusalem, or the city of God, that is connected or bleeding into the original earth. In essence, you could say that Eden was heaven on earth, literally. That Eden was heaven on earth, literally. Now listen, how does this apply to me and to you? And how does this apply to church? Okay? This is really important. Okay? What was Adam's role in the garden? It was to tend, and it was to cultivate it. But when you look at the language that was used there, it's the same language that God gave to the Levites or to the priests in the Bible. Now, who were the priests, right? The priests were a designated set of people that God specifically called to minister and to bless him. Okay, so in essence, it was Adam's role in the garden put it to you this way, to have intimacy with God. Listen, it was Adam's role in the garden. It was Adam's role in the dwelling place or the meeting place to have intimacy with God. Like, it wasn't about the potatoes. It wasn't about the tomatoes. It wasn't about the trees. It wasn't about making sure the hedges were all straight. No, like the main thing, the main reason why Adam was put in the garden is because God was longing to meet with man, and God was longing to dwell and to live among men. Intimacy. See, and how does that apply to me and to you? So I'm going to fast forward like a couple weeks into the last week, but I got to give you guys some thought process for where we're going, is that who is the temple now? What is like what does the Bible say is the temple of God now? Because it's no longer what it was, right? It's no longer Eden. You read the Bible, it's no longer a tabernacle or a tent or a building that David built or Solomon built or whatever. What is it now? What is it? The body? Is that what you said? Yeah. So, somebody say me. Come on. Somebody say me. Somebody say me. The Bible says that you are the temple as an individual of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says this. It says that we are the temple. That we are the temple. So what is this gathering called church all about? What is this thing all about? Why did God design it? Did God design it for you to come and just to hear good preaching? Did God design it for you just to attend a Sunday and a Wednesday service? No. Is that God designed it because this is because the Bible says that whenever we're all together corporately, is that we are like a temple being built up for the living God. In essence, that we are the house of God. So whenever we gather, and we make it not about good preaching, not about good music, not about a good atmosphere, not about this or that, but man, we make it about ministering to him, and we make it about blessing him, and we make it about intimacy with him. God says, man, I want to dwell there. And man, I want to come and I want to meet them there. I want to come and I want to meet them there. You know, there's a really interesting story in the Bible, and I'll close with this. Getting into a little bit next week when I'm going to talk about the Mount Sinai. But Moses, right? Here's Moses, and Moses is, he's a prince of Egypt, right? He's originally a Hebrew, and he's put in a basket because all the babies two and under were getting killed, and so his mom saves him, and she puts him in the basket, and she floats him down this river, just praying that by the providence of God that her baby will survive and somehow not die by a sword. And as Pharaoh's daughter is bathing, that this little basket with his baby inside of it rolls up on her, and she opens the basket, and she finds a baby inside of it. Like, how crazy would that be, you know? Like, talk about somebody leaving a baby on your doorstep, right? And so she raises Pharaoh as her son, right? And the Bible says that as Pharaoh is getting raised, that he's actually his real mother becomes like his nanny. Okay, so his real mother is his nanny, and he's taught about God, and the Bible says that when he's 40, he feels this calling to rescue the people of God from the Israelites, right? And so he goes and he actually kills a man. And then his own brothers, his own Israelite brothers, don't accept him. And so he runs and he flees the land. He basically is in hiding. And then he marries this Ethiopian woman. Woo! And the Bible says that he becomes a shepherd for his father-in-law, Jethro, in the land of Midian. And one day he's tending his sheep, right? And the Bible says that they go a long distance away for whatever reason. And he ends up at Mount Sinai, which is the mountain of God. Another dwelling place of God. And the Bible says that all of a sudden this bush catches on fire, but it doesn't burn up. And the Bible specifically says that Moses says, why isn't this bush burning up? Let me go and take a look. Then the Bible has a really interesting phrase next. It says, when God saw that Moses would take a second look, he spoke. Man, and I think that as like we are in this place where we are making church about him, not about us, not about our feelings, not about the atmosphere or the music that's playing or whatever. I mean, as we're making about ministering to him, and as a collective and as a gathering, as we're making it about, man, is that Jesus, we want you to come and dwell here, like come and dwell among us. Like let your glory come and dwell among us. I think that he's waiting for people to take a second look. He's wanting people, man, to put their toe in a little bit further than where they've been before and says, God, I'm ready to encounter you. God, I want to encounter you. Man, God, I want to take a second look. And if I can be really honest with you guys, I'm like crazy excited about this weekend, about Friday and Saturday, about our conference. If you are not signed up, listen, be like Moses and sign up and take a second look, because listen, God is going to show up this weekend. Listen, God is going to show up this weekend. This weekend, you are going to encounter God like never before. But I really felt led, man, going into the conference this weekend, is it, man, like it's not about like a who's speaking. It's not about good preaching. It's not about, yo, my friends are coming. But man, like, can we make Friday and Saturday about this thing where it's like, God, we want you to come and dwell among us. Like, God, come and dwell among us. God, make this your resting place. God, come and make this your habitation. Man, I really got to shut up, but I want to share one more thing. Listen, like, why was the atmosphere in the early church so intense? Man, like, the Bible says that when Ananias and Sapphira, is that they sold their property like everybody else. They bring the money to Peter, and they lied to Peter about how much they got from their house, is that they fell over dead. Like, why was that atmosphere so intense? Man, the Bible says that the miracles that were going on in the atmosphere and the glory of God that was there was so crazy, man, that the believers were actually scared of the apostles because of the level of the anointing and the miracles that were happening. Like, why was that atmosphere so intense? Man, it's because as a gathering, they made it about him. Like, they made it about him, and because they made it about him, is that, man, heaven and earth became one in their atmosphere. And when Ananias and Sapphira lied, it's like they were standing in the Holy of Holies lying to God himself. No, I'm not saying that anybody's going to fall over dead. It might be a bad story to share at the end, you know. Don't have a whole lot of reference for it, but... But guys, what I'm saying is that, man, like, what would be possible? Like, what would be possible? Like, how could God break out among us if it was about him? Like, if it wasn't, listen, like, if it's not even about me and my comfort zone and my image and what people are going to think of me, because that's a big one for your age. But man, Jesus, come and dwell among me, because this is your heart and this is your intent and this is what you're longing for. Come on, you guys can stand up. I want to pray for you guys and let you go tonight. Listen, I really feel like tonight, you guys can close your eyes. I really feel like tonight, I mean, that God was wanting to make a perspective shift. That God was wanting us to start viewing our gathering. Listen, church is not a building. Okay, like, yes, we call it Covenant Love Church, but biblically, church is not a building. Church is a gathering of believers. So the people in this room are the church. Okay, it's the gathering of believers, and every eye closed for me. But man, I just feel like tonight that God is wanting to make a perspective shift in us. That guess what? Number one, the church is not about a building. Man, but church is about us together, that as we come together and as we bless Him and as we worship Him, man, that because we're making it about Him and we're making it about ministry to Him, man, and not about the preaching and not about our favorite song or not about worship or you know, not even about myself or how good was church or am I entertained or any of that stuff. Man, but because we made it about Jesus, I want to meet with You. God, I'm coming to meet with You. God, I'm coming to meet with You. You know, and specifically, I feel in my heart right now, man, that this weekend, this Friday and Saturday, is going to be like a Mount Sinai moment, man, where God, He delivers the people from Egypt, then He meets them in incredible ways on the Mount of Sinai. And I feel like this weekend for us, if we can position our hearts to say, Jesus, Jesus, God, I'm making it about You, ministry to You, all of that stuff. Man, that I think this weekend is going to be a marker that's going to continue onward and forward for us. So Jesus, tonight I thank You that we're just making the perspective shift. God, that You long for this to be Your dwelling place, not just this building, because it's so much bigger than this building, but this congregation, this group of people. God, that You would dwell among us. Come on. That You would dwell among us. That You would dwell among us. Come on, this has been Your heart all along. All along. Is that You're not a God who's far away. You're not a God who's dead. You're not a God who's boring, man. You're not a God who's not interested. No, but You're a God who's longing to dwell among Your people. God, if we'll just make it about You. So tonight, come on, every hand lifted in the air. Come on, Jesus, tonight we say that we make it about You. 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 Father, I thank You for revelation of this. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.